surgeon. Come on, let's go to the text. Let's go to the text. Matthew 21, verse 7 through 9. Amen. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they laid their clothes on them and set him on them. And a great multitude spread their clothes out on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out. Yeah. They didn't cry out, oh, but they cried out, Hosanna, the son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they said it again, Hosanna. Somebody ought to shout Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. I just want to use this a moment in which to preach. I want to use this subject, raise up a praise.
All right.
This is a moment of victory. And if this is a moment of victory, then how do we respond? We ought to raise up a praise. I thought I was talking to a church of believers. Look, who done been through some stuff, lived through some things. And you've seen defeat, but you show nothing victory. I said, you ought to raise up a praise. This is your chance to go ahead and do it. I said, you ought to raise up. Not raise up your bow down head, but you got to raise up a praise. The old psalmist said, I told Satan to get me behind about victory. In other words, he would have raised it up.
Yeah.
We got too much time. I got too much stuff to preach. We can't pause right here. But if you do pause, I certainly understand that you might feel it in you to raise up a praise. I don't want to stop you. I would say you gotta let grown folk be grown. Grown folk do what grown folk wanna do. And so if you feel it in your body right now to raise up a praise, you can go ahead and. I know this is Sunday, but we normally call Friday Flashback Friday. When I get a flashback of all the things that he done brought me over, all the things he done brought me over, all the things he done brought me through, when I just get a flashback, I can't help but raise up a praise. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and Amen. Come on, give God a hand of praise. Come on. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
I'm gonna need a new media person because my media person is always shouting.
Yeah.
When I know you have an assignment, but when you just think back about how good God has been to you, you might have to tell your boss, let me go to the break room for about 5 minutes because I got to give God a praise. You want to just push your neighbor for just a moment and say, neighbor, I'll be back, but I got to raise up a praise right here. Neighbor, I'm going to come back to my seat in just a moment, but I got to give God praise right here. The Bible tells us that Jesus was making his journey out of Jericho. And as he was passing by, the text tells us that there were two blind men who were sitting along the roadside. And when they heard that it was Jesus who was passing by, they shouted out loud, "Oh Lord, have mercy on us." That's what we get the phrase, "Have mercy, Jesus." When they heard that it was Jesus who was passing by, they shouted out, "Oh Lord, have mercy on us." And even though the crowd was looking at them strange, they cried out, "Oh Lord, have mercy on us." Even though the crowd suggested that they keep quiet, they shouted out anyway, "Oh Lord, have mercy on us." Matthew lets us know that when Jesus heard that shout, he says, when Jesus heard that shout, Jesus, watch this, he stood still. So when Jesus heard that shout, Jesus stood still. In other words, he paused for the call. I wonder how many of us here today can raise up a praise that can cause him to pause in this place. I wonder how many of us here can raise up a praise that can cause Jesus to pause. I wonder how many of us in here can holler out and make Jesus hold up.
Yeah.
I wonder how many of us can raise up a shout and make him stand still. I wonder
wonderful is your name. Yes, God. Yes, hallelujah.
I wonder if your praise gets his attention. Mm-hmm. I wonder if his praise gets his. The Bible says that after he stood still, he had compassion on them.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not only did he have compassion on them, but he also healed them.
Yeah.
Forgive me for this subjective discourse, but I admit, preacher, that this is eisegesis and not exegesis. This is me putting myself in the text and not extracting from the text. This is eisegesis and not exegesis, but according to my sanctified imagination, it looks like to me that when they left out of Jericho, I wish I had a church right out here. When they left out of Jericho, they left out jumping for joy. It looks like to me that before they made their way into the holy city, they were already happy and celebrating. Yet now don't know when to shout. In other words, you want to enter into his gate with thanksgiving. You want to come into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and raise up a praise. Anybody here who didn't have to wait until the praise team that you ignited? Is there anybody here who didn't have to let mud hit a certain chord or let the drummer give you a certain? Is there anybody here that when you pulled up into the parking lot, you pulled up praising? Is there anybody here who walked into the sanctuary? You didn't just walk in, you scooted in and shouted there.
Into his gates.
Yes,
into his gates. We don't have a gate, but we got a parking lot. That literally means when you pulled in, you ought to pull in praise. That means before you got ushered to your favorite seat, even though sometimes they tell you to sit somewhere else, you got the liberty to sit where you want to sit. But when you sit down, did you sit down and shout? Did when you came in, did you just wait on something to happen or did you just bring in some fire with you? I believe in this season, God is looking for some arsonists. Some people that got their own fire. You don't need him to give you something. You don't need nobody else to strike a match for you. You don't need somebody to throw kerosene on your face. God is looking for and invoking this season who already got some fire in their belly. And you already come in ready to start up. When you came in hot. I just believe God is in this season. He's not only is he raising up some warriors. He's looking for some people who are ready to raise up a prayer.
Yeah, 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 God. Yeah. Yes, God. Yeah, Lord.
So when the close of chapter 20, they come out of Jericho shouting. Mm-hmm. At the opening of chapter 21, they come into Jerusalem, which means they come in jumping. In other words, before the text even gets started, they already giving God praise.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I wonder how many of us are waiting on something to happen before we give him praise. I wonder how many of us are waiting to go into our victory before we go in and shout. I wonder how many of us are waiting for our turnaround before we give God praise for the turnaround. Is there anybody here?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Come on.
See, immature Christians need something to happen first.
Yeah.
Y'all don't like how I'm talking.
Yes,
immature Christians need folk who's still on that milk.
Yeah.
You need God to make a way first.
Yeah.
But real mature Christians, I don't know who I'm talking to. Real mature believers in God can praise God on the past tense. He's already done some things in the past tense that already let you know in the present tense that God is going to work it out in the future tense. Is there in it? I'm not talking to you breastfeeding Christians. I'm talking to believers who already know that God is a way maker. That God is a burden bearer and a heavy load. I don't know exactly who I'm talking to. But I'm talking to folks who don't need God to show up. You already ready to shout in this place. Verse 2
and 3 of the text, Jesus says, go over to the village across from you. That's an assignment.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's an assignment. He says, go over to the village across from you. Somebody, I need you to know you got an assignment over your life.
Yeah.
You have an assignment over your life. He said, why am I here? Because you have an assignment. I don't know what your assignment is, but you better spend time with the master to find out.
Yeah.
He says, go over to the village across from you. He says, and when you get there, you'll find a donkey that's tethered there.
untie her and bring it to me. And if anybody asks you, what are you doing? Say the master needs them. And he will send it with you. Listen, if I'm assuming that all of us have seen or have knowledge of the color purple. In the color purple, Celia and Nettie were close. But can I put it in a way, pardon me about if this may offend somebody, but Celia was, I would say, beautifully challenged. Celia was beautifully challenged. And so a lot of her confidence came from the fact that her sister loved her. And so when they got separated, what she needed going forward was a further continuation of the relationship from her sister. So every day she was looking at the mailbox waiting on a letter to come. But that old mister said, listen girl, don't check that mailbox because I done fixed it. Well, I know who to mess with. And so every day he was speaking to Celia's life stuff that was with seeds of destruction. Every day, Mr. would get to talking about some stuff that brought down Celia just a little bit lower. And I believe some of us today are still going on the words of Mr. Mr. represents whoever or whatever. I believe today some of us are still living by the rhetoric of Mr. But the master said, that's what the text said, the master said, I'm not worried about what Mr. said because the master said, can I tell you a few things that the master said, if you just wait on me. In other words, they that wait on the Lord, let's have church, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like an eagle. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not pass out. I don't know who I'm talking about, but I believe there's a group of people in this church that's willing to wait on the Lord. Don't worry about what Mr. said, because the master said, I will never leave you. How will I forsake you? But the master said that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. The master said, if you just try me and see that I'll open up a window of heaven and pour out a blessing that you won't have room enough. The master said, I will supply all of your needs according to not your riches, not the family's riches, not the riches of the promotion. I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. I'm not worried about what the master, what Mr. said, because I got a master whose words will come to pass. I need somebody to understand that whatever his promises are, the promises of God are yay and amen. Yes and amen. You can't be concerned about what he say and she say. I'm still trying to find out who they are. You know, they said. I'm not worried about what the mister said because I got a master who can speak into my life, who can speak over my life. And no matter what he said, it's going to come to pass. I'm trying to give you a reason to raise up the praise. Somebody is so narrow-minded that you need to remind them what God can do for you. So I'm trying to give you a reason to raise up the praise. I don't know what you're going through. But I'm not worried about what Mr. said. I'm worried about I got my mind on what the master said. He says, I know the plan that I have for you, plans to give you. Plans to not harm you, but to prosper you. Plan for a hope and a future.
Yes, God.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm not concerned about what the mister said because the master, the master has spoken over my life. You do know that God comes to a prepared people in a prepared place. God comes to a prepared people in a prepared place. This is what the text says. The text says, all this was done. This is what he says. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. See, this text, they were quoting Zechariah 9, verse 9. And in that text, the text says, rejoice greatly. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. I know that sounds feminine, but guys, we included in that. Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout out loud. Here's that word again. Oh, Ooh. Ooh. Nobody like you, Lord.
Yeah. No matter.
You are my glory, Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, daughters of Zion.
Yeah.
Daughters of Jerusalem. Watch this. He says, behold, your king is coming
to you.
Yes. What I need you to understand, right here is that in the pretext of this particular passage, the prophet of God was pronouncing judgment upon all of the opposers of his people.
Wow.
I said, in the pretext of this particular passage, the prophet was pronouncing judgment upon all of the opposers of his people. Listen, not only was he passing judgment on their enemies, but simultaneously, he was pronouncing the promise of his presence.
Wow, wow.
Not only was he passing judgment on their enemies, but simultaneously, he was pronouncing the promise of his presence. You ought to high five about three people and said, the king is coming.
The king is coming.
Let me come this way. Listen, I remember when Michael Jordan announced his comeback to basketball, the basketball world and the world at large lost their mind. I remember when LeBron made his appeal that he was taking his talents to South Beach. South Beach had a parade.
Yeah, come on now. Yeah.
When LeBron made his way back into Cleveland won a championship.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, when the king comes back, the king comes back to restore order.
Yeah.
See, when the king shows up, the king comes back and takes you from the lonely folk to some high folk.
Yeah.
See, when the king shows up, the king has a way of bringing some pedigree with him.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to get you to understand, listen, when the text says that the king is coming,
yeah,
let's serve and notice to the enemy that your days of reign are over.
Yeah.
Let's serve to the enemy that I know you have had your way for a little while, but the king is on his way back. I don't know about you, but if you ever had a big brother, when somebody was at your school, and you can say, I'm going to go get my big brother to get you. When you declared that, that was telling the enemy, your days of picking on me are numbered. But there's also that you know that when my big brother show up, he got my back. Can I suggest to you that lack came here when Jesus shows up? Can I suggest to you that sickness cannot survive when Jesus shows up? I'm trying to give you a reason to praise him. I'm trying to give you a reason to raise up a praise right here. But now when the king is coming, the king is coming back to set the house in order. Everything that was wrong has got to be fixed. And everything that was against you has to turn in your favor. When the king shows up, I'm trying to give you a reason to pray. If everything you were lacking in his absence,
yeah.
Everything that you were lacking in his absence, when the king shows up.
Thank you, Father.
I don't know about you, but I get excited when I know that the king is showing up. When the king shows up, it's some stuff that I've been dealing with that I won't have to deal with no more. When the king shows up, he has a way of knocking my haters upside their head. When the king shows up.
Thank you, Father.
God comes to a prepared place. You can catch that. God comes to a prepared place.
Yes, God.
He comes to a prepared people who are occupying a prepared place.
Yeah.
Let me give it to your old school. When praises go up.